your source for all things Texas Tech. This is the Ask Level Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome into another episode of the Ask Level Podcast. Happy 75th to Chris Level and this podcast. He is Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. Thanks to our friends at Cantex Roofing and Construction for sponsoring these podcasts.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Level, you have been to Pittsburgh and back since I last talked to you. How was the PA?
Interesting city. Lots of bridges, steel bridges. I think PNC and whatever they call Heinz Field is pretty cool. They're right there, semi close to each other. I want to say, I don't know, 200 or 300 yards apart, kind of thing, is the way it looks when you're passing by from afar. But they're both on the water. I thought the arena, the PPG Paints Arena, where Texas Tech played in the rest of the NCAA tournament was awesome. Pittsburgh, yeah, it was okay. I mean, it's an extension of Morgantown, just a bit more scenic and a bit, obviously quite a bit more population and all that
sure.
stuff. But you're kind of in the mountains or hills or however you want to phrase it. But I've been, don't feel the need to go again, probably won't. So unless the Red Raiders are playing Pitt, unless there's another NCAA tournament scenario, I'm probably done with Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm glad I went. I kind of check it off the, check it off the old bingo card there on as far as places you've been to. We had landed on the and been on the runway there and then left Pittsburgh. One of these recent basketball trips I'd gone when you played West Virginia, it's about 45 minutes away. You either land in like Clarksburg or just, I think Clarksburg is right. Bridgeport maybe is the other one that's on one way of Morgantown, then Pittsburgh's on the other.
Yeah.
Morgantown's right in the middle. So my extent of being in Pittsburgh had just been literally been sitting on the runway, getting on a bus, and then exiting their lovely city.
All right.
But yeah, it was all right. Anyway, I've spent way too much time talking about a city that I'll probably never go back to. I didn't hate it, but
well,
I won't have fond memories of my exit though.
I was about to say your fondness of the town might have been a little better had you had better memories that were developed, but that was I think just a frustrating night. I think that's probably the best word that describes it, and frustrating because, you saw some of the things that you struggled with a few games before come back up. You run into a team that is in fuego, and it's not a good combination.
Yeah, I've tried to equate it. I love doing this. I don't know if people get irritated at me when I do it, but I love whatever sport I'm in. I try to equate the other sport that I deal with sometimes. So to me, I'm going to use a football analogy here. NC State, it's like they ran the ball up the middle on you repeatedly, and there was nothing you could do to stop it. And that's what it felt like with their post play. It just, you couldn't keep the ball out of the paint. You couldn't. I mean, it was a minus 22 as far as like difference and points in the paint differential. That had not really happened much at all this year.
Yeah.
It had been fairly even, but they just kind of, and it was just like this like car wreck that you could just see happening in slow motion.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't do anything to stop it. And so you just kind of watch it crash.
Arkansas game circa 2014. You knew what's coming the whole day and you just can't stop it.
The game where that was the last game that Matt Wallerstedt was your defensive coordinator. Is that what you're talking about?
I think you're right. Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
I mean, it just it was that helpless feeling that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and you will ultimately try to address all of these issues. But yeah, it was like a perfect storm of hot team that was really, you know, good in the post. And they, here's the difference. Other teams that you've played are more than capable in the post. However, and this is a big difference here. However, a lot of teams, you know, or the coach quits dumping it into the post. We got to get this guy's shots. Or we want to let so-and-so handle the ball. And so you get bored with it.
Yeah.
You get bored using your post player, or, you know, there's just not much of this. And I think what NC State, Kevin Keats, who I think is he's a Rick Pitino disciple. He's been there 6 years, 7 years, something like that.
Yep.
But I think what he has done with this team right now is that they all know their role. And I think part of their role is like, we're going to play out of the post, you know, and Tech's decision to like leave DJ Burns in one-on-one situations. It's a choice. And obviously Oakland two nights later, they decide to triple team the guy and then take their chances with him as a passer. And even that, okay, I'll find the double team, kick it out, three-pointer, and it's like kind of pick your poison here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's what NC State is doing a good job of right now, is all these guys know their roles, you know. And Diarra, freaking the Middlebrook guy,
who
just that's what crushed you.
Yeah,
he has 1 point versus North Carolina in the ACC tournament final. The next game after you, when he plays Oakland, I think he has like 3 or 4 points.
Three, I think so. Yeah.
And against you, he has 21. He was arguably the best player on the floor, which was extremely frustrating to say. But he hit you in your weak spot repeatedly. You know, especially with D5 not being healthy and not having the same lift and all those things with that ankle issue. Anyway, it was just I could ramble on, but it was just very frustrating. And you were just so close to getting to go to Dallas, which would have been
I know. And that's what's I think for most Tech fans, you see what happens the game before against Kentucky and you get that lift. It's like, oh my gosh, he got a decent shot, a pretty good path now to get to play in Dallas and see what happens there with the crowd that'll be like a home crowd. And you just couldn't.
I mean,
yeah.
We could be sitting here gearing up for like a Friday night game at the American Airlines Center against Marquette. I mean,
and you would have
a home crowd. Yep. It would have been you, your fans, and then Duke maybe a little bit, and then Houston obviously would have had some fans there too. But dang it. That's the frustrating part. But
have you been able to watch games since then?
I watched everything I could, you know. I got back Friday, I don't know, 1 or 2 o'clock, I guess.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, it's like I'm just mad at the world. I'm mad at sports. I'm mad at basketball.
Right.
I'm mad at college basketball. I'm just like, I want to put this toy down. I don't want to play with it for a while. And then by 3:30, I'm like, sign me. And I watched all throughout the night and Saturday and then Sunday. I mean,
I feel like this is the one sporting event that can do that for me. It's like, it's the one, even though I was the exact same way. I'm like, I don't want to watch. And then I find myself watching
it's
all weekend.
It's such a great tournament, man.
It is.
I mean, it's such a phenomenal sporting event. Mm-hmm. And I forget how much I love it every year, even though I know that I love it.
Oh, yeah.
And this year, it's just been phenomenal. It stings. It sucks. And you know, like in any given year, if I'm just a casual observer, I'm looking at this NC State team going, unbelievable. What an incredible story.
Right.
Now I hope they lose every game by 100.
I mean, exactly the same way. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's like if DJ Burns was on my team, I would love the guy. And I would get so mad by anybody going, "You whining about a foul?" But right now I'm like, he's fouling offensively every freaking time he posts up and touches the ball. But if he was on my team, this is what sports do to you though, man.
Oh, this is
like the it's like the old girlfriend that you just can't, you know, it's toxic. The relationship just is not going to go anywhere, but yet you just can't break up, man. And it's like you just stay together because you just kind of love each other. And there's some love, there's some hate, but this is sports sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
And this is DJ Burns. It's like I really want to hate him. But it's like now that he's out of my way and he's already beat Oakland, it's like, yeah. It's not going to hurt my feelings if you go beat Marquette, I don't guess. But
well, the Middlebrooks guy is probably who I found myself hating more. Like, he's got a punchable face, too.
I heard a lot of this chatter. Diarra can be fairly unlikable. DJ Horn can be fairly unlikable. We've spent way too much time on this podcast, the 75th edition, talking about NC State, though.
You're right.
So, Wolfpack. I am a one-man Wolfpack, and I down with the Wolfpack.
Yes.
I just soon their little fun story come to an end.
Yep, let's go Shaka. So that brings us to our first question from Twitter. Chandler says, why does God give us Tech fans his toughest battles? Us Tech fans his toughest battles.
Oh, his toughest battles.
Oh man.
Yeah. God, it was just like this perfect storm of I mean, yep. And I'll be honest, I told you as much. I kind of liked the matchup. I thought that maybe that's would be a good thing, that they're hot, that they're a Power Five team, that they had won so many in a row.
Yeah.
Because the mid-majors are the ones that just scare me to death. Like the, and we saw it. I mean, and everybody, so many others got too.
Sure.
I mean, your James Madisons, your Grand Canyons, your Yales, your Oaklands. I mean, every year, and nobody writes these down on a bracket. Nobody. And yet every year, so many of them happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I always say in these NCAA tournaments, it's the first game of these weekends that is the hardest one to win.
Yeah.
Because look at how many upsets happened in the first round, and then it's a lot of chalk.
It's, you know,
in round two. Yeah. It's a lot of chalk. I mean, yes, Baylor is out as a 3 seed, Kentucky and Auburn are out as 4s.
I think in the Sweet 16 there's only one double digit seed. I mean, which it's NC State. Yeah. Yeah.
Red Raiders.
Whoop-de-doo.
Gosh. I mean, and Jack Golkey is having a moment of all moments, and it's happening right in front of me.
I know.
That's the biggest thing I'll take from Pittsburgh, honestly, was like I was sitting 10 feet from this kid burying threes, and the nation is held captive. And the Oakland fans are literally 10 feet behind me. And I'm just like, this is insane. And 19,000 people in there are sitting there either cheering loudly or like in shock because they're wearing blue.
Oh yeah.
And I mean, and it was like, I'm watching it from the tech standpoint. I'm like, they're about to do you a huge favor, but it turned out they were doing NC State a huge favor.
Unfortunately. R Seeds from Twitter says, really enjoy your podcasts. Can you please explain the logic of having regular Big 12 officials do NCAA tournament games of Big 12 teams? Have seen at least 4 games like that.
Oh, yeah, you'll see plenty. The way that officials are – I'm always fascinated too by how the tournament games are officiated. Well, that's a separate conversation than the way officials are assigned.
Sure.
I actually talked to Keith Kimble in, he did your game versus Houston in Kansas City. He came over before the game, and when you do TV, they treat you a little bit differently than we're just the radio guy. So I've gotten to know a lot of them, and I've talked to Ray Natilli quite a bit, Keith Kimmel quite a bit, Doug Sermons quite a bit, and all, you know, mostly all good people. Like, I know that we may not agree with them all the time. I think some do a really good job, but I know most of these guys because I've been doing it for so long, and so many of these guys have been doing it for a long time too. They get assigned. They're all part of like these chapters, but they ultimately get assigned and find out, like, when Selection Sunday happens for teams, they get assigned their destination on Sunday as well and figure out where they're going.
Right.
There's no, you know, and if you needed to grade out well enough, you know, mm-hmm. in the regular season to be in the NCAA tournament, or if you didn't, maybe you're an NIT guy or you're a CBI guy, and, you know, and all those things. So they're randomly assigned. And lo and behold, you know, you got Darren George assigned to your game, the one guy that had called technical fouls on Grant McCaslin all year
yep.
in Ames and in Morgantown, and he gets your NCAA tournament game. So, yeah, that's it's just random. And the other part of the conversation is choice is that they call it differently in the tournament than they do in the regular season, and the reason is, they may let you get away with a lot more in the regular season. Well, this is just Big 12 basketball, quote unquote, right?
Yeah. That's
what a lot of the coaches have issues with. This ain't hoops. You can't do this, you know, whatever. In the tournament, it's going to get us. Well, Kelvin Sampson and his Houston team, they messed around and almost found out.
Almost got, yeah.
They almost found out. It's close. I mean, you got walk-ons in the game at the very end shooting free throws and handling the ball because you are out of players, man, because they let you do whatever, you know, whatever you want in the Fertitta Center. And yeah. then when we get to the tournament, me, the official, I want to advance to the next round. I'm going to be judged by ultimately how I officiate the game, the way the rules are written.
Yeah.
Maybe we let two hands go on a player or, you know, some shoving in the post go on a Big 12 play. The letter of the law, maybe there's some things there that you know, and so by that, like, I'd like to advance the next weekend. It's more money, it's more clout, it's more, you know, advance my way up the profession. And so I'm going to call it by the letter of the law. And so I'm not going to let you put your hands all over guys. I'm not going to let all the physicality go on. And yeah, so anyway, long answer, but that's kind of why.
Yeah, I mean, but it is still interesting. I agree with you. I think it's called tighter overall in the tournament, but still from game to game, you get different ones. Like, there was definitely more physicality in the Texas Tech game against NC State than what you saw in the Houston A&M game. They let a lot more go in that particular game because you would have benefited from a tighter whistle in that game.
I agree. And it's – Houston is a lot like, and Iowa State does this, you know, West Virginia, when Huggins was there, used yep. to do this. It's like a dare.
Yeah.
Like, it's a culture. We're going to be really physical. You're going to know we're here. We're going to bump you. You're going to feel us. We're not going to let you run our, it's really the defensive centric teams. And you're going to feel us. And, mm-hmm. and yet we're going to slap down and we're gonna be very physical, and we just don't think you're gonna call it every time, because if you do, there's not really a game to play, and we know you're not fouling everybody out.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of the game that's being played there. And yeah. sometimes the officials will go, all right, try me, and it's like three quick fouls on the superstar, and it's like, okay, guys, like, stop fouling. You know, I mean, like, it's, you know, so it's just the game within the game, but pretty fascinating. I'll be real interested to see what adjustments the Big 12 Conference makes as it relates to this going yeah. forward.
Agreed.
You know, yeah. I mean, does Brett Yormark say, guys, leave it alone. Let them play. It's a brand. It's physical. We got two teams in the Sweet 16. You know, this is who we are. Yeah, I don't know. But then you also look at it, Woodman, and think about this. Houston beat to all nothing. They got guys out for the year. They got guys wounded. You got Kansas, we know about their injuries. Baylor has got guys playing through stuff. Langston Love has been out. Who else am I missing? We obviously know about the Red Raiders issues with Warren and then Darion. And you just, you know, the physicality caught up with a lot of these teams.
Right.
And I wonder if they, if somebody points that out and says, guys, our league is so physical, we can't even get through it and put our best foot forward when it really counts because we're just beating the heck out of each other, literally.
Sure.
You know, and so anyway, just a point worth making that that may be what, like, okay, we do need to adjust this because we're getting guys hurt. We're getting, you know, not that that's why they all got hurt, but at the wear and tear over the course of the year adds up.
Yep, it does. All right, Level, if you're putting a letter grade on year one for Grant McCaslin, now that we have a completed product, what are you putting on?
Oh, I'd give him an A.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't go A plus. I'm not going to say minus or, you know, but I think B plus, which is a step down from, you know, well, I mean, you know, I think that's not, I think that's selling it too short. Fourth place in the, in the Big 12, you beat Kansas by 29 points or whatever. You went on the road, you know, four times in league play. You have a winning record. I mean, how could it not be anything other than an A? And granted, agreed. Yeah, I get that's the tricky thing about the NCAA tournament.
Yes, it is.
Is that when you're ultimately judging programs by that event and that event only, ooh, there's going to be a lot of disappointment out there in the world, man. I mean, there just is.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Big 12 right now. You got two teams left when this was the strongest league all year long. And if you're judging purely off that, now if both teams get to the Final Four, then it's like, oh, it is the strongest league. But if you're judging like, man, there should have been more teams than – and just to get through to the Sweet 16 if you were the best league in the country. So it is a tricky, dangerous thing game to judge off of that.
Yeah, and you know, whenever I just the Devin Cambridge injury, you know, the Pop Isaacs stuff or lack of stuff, whatever, the Warren injury, being in the toughest league, and then you end up with a first or a double bye in the conference tournament. I just and he's in year one, and he took over a dumpster fire. Heck, I mean, yeah. The only thing up from A would be A plus, and I'd feel like Grant would get frustrated with me if I gave him an A plus after losing in the first round of the NCAA tournament. There's just so much to like about year one. When, if I'm being honest, man. And I felt like I said as much. There was a lot of question marks about this team back in, like, say, October.
Yeah.
I wasn't real sure what this was going to look like. I thought you were very flawed, and you were. But to do what you did, I mean, yeah, it's got A all over it, man. I mean, and if anything, I'm too low.
Yeah, no disagreement from this side. All right, a couple of questions back-to-back that are similar territory. We're talking transfer portal and players leaving and not. What Leah first asked, what current Tech basketball players do you anticipate entering the transfer portal? Second part was, is Kyron still on the team?
Well, let's just start right there. Like, I expect Kyron Lindsey probably to enter the portal. I mean, he hasn't been with the team in 3 weeks, I guess. I expect Demarion Williams to enter the portal because he was not with the team post-Kansas City.
Yes.
Did not go to the NCAA tournament. And so that's two spots. Right there. I mean, we obviously know Drew Steffi's spot is vacated because he's entered the portal.
Yep.
The questions I have, like, I wonder about these guys. This is the trio that I guess I'm curious about. And then we always get a surprise, good or bad. You know, that's just the way it goes.
Sure, we do.
I worry. I wonder about Robert Jennings. I wonder about EY, and I wonder about Lamar Washington. Do they want to seek more playing time elsewhere? I think a couple of those guys would be welcomed back with open arms. If they were okay with the role as established or whatever. But they may say, you know, I'd really like to go and be a dude that plays 30 minutes a night at a lower level or a mid-major or whatever. I don't know. I think EY's got of those three, got a ton of upside. I'd like to see what a full offseason looks like, getting his body right. I think he's got a great shooting touch. I think he just kind of started to figure it out. He's got some size to go with it. I'd like to hang on to that young man if at all possible.
I agree.
Yeah. And I don't think he came in as the freshman, and I don't think he's like envisioning these grandiose plans of like, okay, if I'm not a starter here, if I'm not getting to play my 25 minutes a night, I'm out. I don't think that's the scenario, but mm-hmm. You know, you just never know with this stuff, man. You just don't know.
Yeah. Hard to predict. So if you're putting a number on it, level of you get 13 scholarships, what did we count out? Seniors. You've got five gone, right? Or five most likely.
Well,
gone.
I mean, yeah, it's always hard to kind of pin this down. But yeah, you're replacing Joe Toussaint and you're replacing Warren Washington. So there's two. You know, I think you're going to replace you're replacing Steffi.
Steffi, he's in the portal.
So those are the scholarships. So it's three at the very minimum. But okay. Yeah, I don't think in any way Kyron Lindsay or DeMarion Williams are back. Now you're at five.
And then?
Then you get into like some of the, you know, and one of the guys that you may really want back may go, you know what? Somebody's going to pay me more to go do this.
Right.
Or I don't like this offensive or defensive scheme. Who knows? I mean, you know, and like you may get a hiccup there. Or, hey, man, my mom's really sick all of a sudden and I'm going to try to move back closer to home.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can get to five or six like
pretty easily. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Who's the most important player that Tech, like if you can't let go, who is the guy where you're like, this guy needs to stay?
I would probably say that's either Pop or Darion Williams.
Okay.
One and 1A.
Yeah.
I would probably say, you know, that's a pretty easy choice.
Both sophomores too, so they've got some time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I love Chance. You know, I think Cambridge is kind of a question mark just because he's coming back from an injury, not a question mark as whether he's coming back or not. I think he will.
Sure.
Kerwin, I think good player, much better than he was last year. Obviously, world's better, but he's very flawed, still. And I think he's got to get much better on defense choice and much better on the glass and rebounding if he doesn't want his role to be maybe reduced next year.
Right.
But he's a flamethrower. He can shoot it with the best of them, but needs to get better in all other aspects. But as far as the straw that stirs the drink, I think it's Pop and Darion for sure, with Chance being right there.
All right, so shifting gears to football the last little bit before we hang it up. So first, the spring football started for Texas Tech this past week, fully getting underway. The AJ put out an article. This is because Baron Morton talked about, so spoke with the media, and one thing he said is he's still working through the shoulder stuff. He's not all the way there. Now, is that a bigger deal than, or is people making it into a bigger deal, or are you concerned that he's not 100% at this point, or what's your thoughts on that?
I think football players generally deal with some level of achiness or pain. I think it's important to understand tone and context versus when you read something.
Sure.
At this point, I'm not really worried about Baron, but I do know that he will still deal with this for a little while. It's just kind of sore. You kind of feel it a little bit. But it's here we are in late March, and I just can't spend up a bunch of my emotional equity right now worrying about, you know, Baron Morton's shoulder, knowing that you don't even play a game for another, 5 months?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
But this is why, like the Will Hammond edition, the Cameron Brown edition to go along with Jake Strong, that's why you wanted more pieces to the puzzle there in that room just to give you some more options.
Yeah.
And I think they like what they've got there. And this also alleviates some of the stress on Barron in practices too. So he's not putting all that mileage on his arm because we have nobody else that can throw, you know, right? So
yeah.
I think that that's worth mentioning as well.
You mentioned Cameron Brown. It sounds like he's there's some excitement around that young
man. I told you.
I know you did. I know.
He's like 6'2", 225, 235-ish.
Could we see him in a Donovan Smith type of role as far as bigger packages?
I think
packages?
That's exactly why he's here. Okay. I think that's exactly why he's here. I think he – look, I don't think he's going to push Baron Morton to start at quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
But I think he's going to play meaningful reps at quarterback and other positions just in general in a normal game, you know, like as in, you know, gimmicky stuff, as in short yardage stuff, as in red zone stuff, as in, mm-hmm. you know, maybe lining up as a tight end, like an H-back. I mean, just like, I think you can have some fun there. He's by all accounts, a great kid. I think they love his skill set. He was kind of the way they acquired him, if you will, or the way that they, you know, it didn't really like take away your ability to do other things with your scholarship count and your QB room and all that. I think he was really looking to play at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's, you know, and he's around so much more talent here than where he was.
Sure.
Obviously, it goes without saying. But I think this has also made him a better player. But you can't teach the size, you know, speed, kind of IQ and just kind of work ethic and all that stuff. I think he's got it. And I think that I'll be shocked if Zach Kittley doesn't figure out some different ways to use him. And it sounds like Kenny Perry could too from a special team standpoint.
Yeah.
Unless you want to risk getting him hurt.
Yeah, that might be the little kicker there. One quick recruiting question. Tech has been doing pretty well on the recruiting front. If you're looking at rankings and that sort of thing in the 25 class, this one from the email from Jesse says, is there a Micah Hudson type of player in the 25 recruiting class that Tech could possibly land?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to dodge that question, but I'm not really aware of like of somebody that's so head and shoulders above everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That I'll say this: they're in on quite a few top level recruits or prospects.
Yeah.
But are you like in a really good spot with one? I'm not aware of that yet. But let me do some digging and kind of see what we can come up with there. But there's not anything. And I'm trying to remember, had somebody asked me this question in late March a year ago, I guess I would have been able to tell them Micah Hudson was like, okay, like a top of the food chain, like top on the list as far as wants. And
yeah.
And I think you were in a pretty good spot with him, but I think it was still semi-fresh.
Yeah, I think it was in its infancy stages at this point last year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no doubt.
And I think, I mean, it was still, yeah, you're in there, but you've never landed a true five-star out of high school. And
but you're about to see this aspect of the calendar, you know, like you're about to see the recruiting thing really kind of start to heat up here in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah.
Because you'll largely have a lot of your class put together in, say, what, the next 60 to 90 days?
Yeah. it'll be here before we know it. It'll be fast. And
yep.
Spring football is going to be over before we know it. One
and it's
down.
worth pointing out, because this is Joey has pinned three classes now. The first one is like, yeah, it's attached to him, had a little time to put it together. But the two other ones that I think ranked well and all that, I really think you're going to start to see some of these big time players, prospects, whatever, signees start to be, you know, all over the depth chart. And you're going to see a lot of this added speed. It's still young, mind you.
Right.
With all these guys, with the high school signees in the last couple of years, I just know that there's going to be a payoff here really, really soon. But I think you start to see quite a few sneak peeks of that starting this next season.
Yeah, might get to see some of it in the spring game coming up in a few weeks.
Maybe.
So, all right, Level. Appreciate the time as usual. I guess things will slow down a little bit with basketball season over, but we'll do it again next week.
Hope everybody out there enjoys their Easter holiday, their Easter weekend. Don't do the Peeps. Don't do the Cadbury eggs.
It's just come on.
There's some weirdness there. Just do like the Reese's egg or the, you know, just stick with the basics. I would also say, if you're hiding eggs out there in the yard, you know, for the youngsters, don't hide the hard boiled egg, you know, like the real one out there. Because if you forget where it is,
it's a stink bomb.
It's a problem. Yeah. And it's no bueno there. So just use the plastic ones and away we go. So
Easter advice from Level. I like it.
Happy 75th episode of this show. Thank you to Cantex Roofing and all those that are a part of this one. And Choice, it was a pleasure, sir.
Enjoyed it. That's Chris
Level. Don't go to Pittsburgh, people. Don't go to Pittsburgh.
Stay away.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Chris Level. I'm Choice Woodman. This has been the Ask Level Podcast, brought to you by Double T 97.3.
You've been listening to the Ask Level Podcast, powered by Double T 97.3.